One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Well, welcome to the Giro d'Italia. I'm standing outside the Basilica of the Superga, the famous climb just outside Turin, over which they will be racing on stage one. The sun is out after a couple of days of filthy weather here in Piemonte. I can look out now in glorious sunshine over the city of Turin beneath me, laid out in all its splendour. You can see the River Po just snaking its way through, with the hills to the left over which they will be repeatedly climbing, and the great city of Turin, the former capital, the first ever capital of the United Kingdom of Italy, just laid out in front of me to the right of the river as I look at it. And in the distance, and the near distance at that, the vertiginous sight of the snow-covered Alps with their light cloud just floating across the jagged peaks that are still heavily covered in snow. I arrived a couple of days ago. The race starts tomorrow, and I can't wait. Never Strays Far is proud to be supported by BICMO Cycle Insurance, protecting the world's riders and the places we ride. Head to BICMO.com and use the code NSF24 on their quote page to get 12 months of award-winning BICMO insurance for the price of 11. Terms apply.
Come prima, più di prima, t'amerò. Per la vita, la mia vita ti darò.
Yes, welcome then to 3 weeks of daily podding, I hope. It's a promise that I'm going to make, and I believe that I can somehow fulfill it. I have done for the last couple of years. Whether or not it'll be daily podcast with me and my co-commentator for the World Feed, Matt Stevens, who I'm going to rope in because he's just a nice guy and we're joined at the hip, basically. We can't get away from one another. Remains to be seen. How often I'll be able to check in with Pete and David remains to be seen. They're busy people, and Pete at the moment is at a bike race in the Pyrenees, and David I can't quite get hold of. He's back at home, I think, in Girona at the moment, probably preparing for some insane sporting challenge. So I'll be trying to do my best. A day out from the race, I feel this kind of enormous sense of trepidation. It's my fifth Giro d'Italia that I've been on the road for, commentating on. For some reason, I'm more nervous about this race, or kind of excited, keyed up, tense. Nervous is probably a good word, though, than I have been in recent editions, and I don't know why. I think the scale of it is just overwhelming at the beginning, a day before the race gets underway. Maybe that's the reason, I don't know. It's a strange old race this year in some ways, because you've got this out-and-out favourite, and, you know, Tadej Pogacar will win if he stays upright. It's as simple as that. I can't see any other outcome, and nor can everyone else in the race. And so it'll either have a stifling effect on the race, and the likes of Romain Bardet, Dani Martinez, Luke Plat, possibly, certainly Geraint Thomas, etc., will be looking at the podium places from very early on and kind of eyeing each other up, potentially. Or we can hope for the flip side of that, where everything is very aggressive and they collectively try and unseat and put pressure on UAE team Emirates and Tadej Pogacar. I've got no idea. And anyway, I want to veer away from standard punditry. But one thing is worth noting, I think, before the off. This is by far the strongest field of sprinters that I can ever remember at the Giro d'Italia, in my experience of the race. There are six or seven absolutely bona fide opportunities for sprints, which is a high number for the Giro, and arguably another two on top of that. So it could be that nine stages will end in some sort of a massed arrival, so to speak. And as a result, some of the very fastest men in the world have been attracted to the Giro. It's stacked. Caleb Ewan comes with Jayco Alula, his new team, his new old team, so to speak, looking for form. Fernando Gaviria. And I mentioned those two slightly stars of a few years ago who are slightly on the wane now, potentially, simply because they've both won five stages of the Giro d'Italia in their career. Add to that, though, the real men in form, the likes of Tim Melia and Olaf Koy, and a whole host of other sprinters, including Fabio Jakobsen, although he might have to share a bit of his leadership of his team with Tobias Lund Andersen. We'll have to see how that one plays out, because arguably his teammate is going a little bit better than him at the moment. So there's a lot to admire. There's a lot to admire in this start list, but we'll leave the names and the you know, what's going to happen, I think, to unfold of its own, at its own tempo and of its own accord as the weeks tick by. I've just stepped down away from the very summit of the Superga, an enormous basilica that sits on top of the hill outside Turin, that you can see on a clear day like today. You can see 4 kilometres away from Turin. You can see it always silhouetted against the sky, this almost defining landmark of Turin. And it is, I've been here many times, it is a beguiling sight. And here's a bike racing thing. This is what bike racing does. You know, at the back of the basilica is the memorial to Grande Torino, to the football team, the staff, and those who were also on board the aircraft that crashed in 1949 at night in bad weather into the side of the mountain just beneath the old basilica embankment, and killed, I think, 31 people. And by an extraordinary coincidence and a little bit of design, but appropriately so, the race that comes up this climb with 61 kilometres to go tomorrow will take place on exactly on the 75th anniversary. The 4th of May 1949 was when the accident happened. It'll be the 4th of May in 2024 when the race comes up here. Now, even on a normal anniversary, big crowds always assemble. Torino fans, for the most part, but the wider sort of football community and indeed Turin residents come to honour the dead and remember them. And I think that could be quite special, actually, when that happens tomorrow. For those of you who don't know this story yet, there can't be many, surely, but just a little reminder. Those who died were on their way back from a football match in where Torino had been playing in Lisbon. It was a testimonial match for a Portuguese player, and they were flying back home when their aeroplane ploughed into the side of the hillside. And that was one of the greatest club teams, the greatest club team, you could say, in the history of Italian football. They won 5 consecutive league titles, won the cup. And in an international match, excuse me, sorry, I'm also getting text messages really weirdly as well, as having a bit of a head cold. An Italian national match that they played against Hungary in that era broke a record for featuring of the 11 players, 10 of them were from that Torino team, and most of those names were among those who perished in the accident. So it's going to be emotional, it's going to be dramatic. I can't recall a Giro d'Italia or any Grand Tour that started with the severity of climbs. Right, stage one is a bit of a tester, stage two is a bona fide summit finish. Extraordinary opening weekend of the Giro d'Italia. And it could be that Tadej Pogacar will be in pink after the first day and might just hold it all the way to Rome. We'll have to see. Tomorrow, as they say, is another day. But today, it's Friday, it's sunny, 24 hours to go until the race begins.
Come prima, più di prima, t'amerò per la vita, la mia vita.
What's the joke, Matt?
What's the difference? How can you tell the difference between a burglar and a bugler?
Dolcemente ti dirò come prima. prima, come prima, più di prima t'amerò.
I think it's the other way around. When you read it first time, it's the other way around. I don't know if that, I don't know if that matters.
I think it might make a difference.
Okay, so read it the right way around. So what's the difference between a bugler and a burglar?
And a burglar. One, oh, I've just got to find the beginning of it again. Oh, God, it's just right down here.
So just some context, we're sitting in a square here. It's just waiting for some friends to join us for dinner the night before the race starts. And Matt's wife, Holly, has just messaged him with a joke that she thinks was really funny.
Yeah.
And she's just double-checking it for, you know, whether or not we think funny.
Find it again, then, mate. Keep talking.
Grazie mille.
Yeah, I will find it again. Did you ask anybody? She keeps texting me and asking if anybody found it funny. So I'm going to find it again. I will find it.
How many messages has she sent since?
This is like the last couple of days.
So one is enjoying playing his bugle. This is the punchline, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the other is annoyed that his bugle has been stolen.
Yes.
That's it.
That's it.
That's the punchline.
Yeah, one is sad. One's got
not
a bugle.
Annoyed, sad,
yeah,
sad.
One is upset that his bugle's been stolen, and the other's got a bugle.
It's not. Yeah, it's not very good.
It's not sorry, good. Holly.
You got out on your bike today.
I did.
Yeah.
I went up.
Talk us through it.
Popped up. Well, the first part of the ride, we turned right outside the. Well, I turned right out the hotel up this long drag. Oh, we've got a lovely tray of nibbles here, some olives and some of those little curly.
Oh, look, you've got a beer been delivered, and look what it is. It's Birra Messina.
Birra Messina. It's really nice. I won't do the sipping or crunchy.
No, don't do that. But Messina, of course, founded the. If you look at the glass, it should say it in detail. Have you got your glass on? Like, when is it? The Birra Messina.
1923.
Ah, yeah.
I see, we did that. Yeah. There we go. This is a nice beer. I won't sip it on air.
No.
But I know, turned right out of the hotel, rode about a K up this long drag. Beautiful, beautiful day today. We need to set the scene though. You might have already. Lovely
yeah.
day.
Yeah, I have done
it's
that.
Really different. It's a beautiful day. And went through a tunnel that I shouldn't have ridden through, and I was a bit scared.
You had no choice.
No, I had no choice, apart from to climb up an escarpment
yeah.
or through a forest with my Brompton.
Carrying your Brompton, yeah.
Which wouldn't have happened, so I rode
well,
through the
tunnel. Especially not with your sprained buttock. I mean, we'll have to come onto that at some
point. Yeah, that's another. I mean, yeah, we'll somehow weave that into this, because it is quite interesting. Well,
it's an unusual way of spraining a buttock.
An unusual airport-based injury. but no, and then I rode the back way up the Superga, went to the top. Lovely, lovely road that you drove up and went up there, similar time to me.
Yep.
Descended down, turned, did a U-ey, climbed up, which was like doing weight training. I mean, as good as these Chapter 3 bikes are, the gearing isn't designed to go
up the Superga.
I'm sure they're kind of primarily based to be ridden around cities.
Yeah.
But we do take them further afield, me and you, as does Dave. But so it was like doing weight training. And I wouldn't say I was defeated by the climb, but I did stop halfway for a little breather, but also just to ease my back, because I'd become so ridiculously inefficient. I think you could have walked quicker, and at 35 to 40 RPM roughly, so I was doing my back a real disservice, so I had to stop and recuperate, then go again, got to the top, took some photos, descended again.
Oof.
Went to a little cafe,
yeah.
And bumped into Roman Bardet.
That's
and
amazing, isn't it? That's
yeah.
just
yeah.
brilliant. Imagine bumping into Roman Bardet
yeah.
and his DSM teammates.
And the teammates, yeah, yeah. They're all there. And Matt Winston was there. And, of course, Fabio Jakobsen,
yeah.
who looked at the Brompton and commented on the extraordinary length of the seat pin.
Which is true.
They're long, aren't
they? Also, Bromptons have been around for a long time already. They're quite familiar sights on the streets of European capital cities, not just in the UK.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed at the number of professional cyclists. They seem to be quite heavy-set sprinters who particularly don't understand. It's like they're like children seeing something for the first time, and they can't understand it.
You're right. They were gathered around it, looking at it as if it was something from outer space, like a meteorite had landed or something like that, and gently poking fun. One of the younger riders who I took issue with did say, "You YouTubers always using unusual bikes."
Who was that?
I don't know.
One of the younger DSM riders.
It could have been Kevin. Kevin Vermark, I think.
Was it an American accent?
Yeah. He didn't have an American accent. And I was stood right next to his bike, actually. Very good rider. Former winner of under-23 Liège, Bastogne Liège. That's without looking at
it. Is indeed. Very compact riding style as well. Very kind of economical looking.
Yeah, he's going all right. He's going all right. He was up there, front group in Liège this year, in the big Liège.
Yeah. He traces his heritage back to Flanders, by the way, but born and bred in the United States.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. That's good added detail. Yeah. But no, so I said to him, "Oh, Kevin, it's because it's easier to port around." I mentioned I'm commentating for the World Feed, and he was clearly impressed with that. His facial expression completely changed. He said, "Oh, right,
World Feed."
Well, it's the World Feed that did it quite clearly. Yeah. Said back of the car, you know, and just keep him fit every morning, and doing a few recons. And he's like, "Ah." Yeah, yeah. And the penny kind of dropped. The dime dropped.
Nice. So tell us about the buttock injury and how that came about, because it could plague you for the next 3 weeks, and I'm a bit concerned.
It could plague me. And, I'm not saying my GC hopes are up in smoke, but I'm still going to be riding for GC, but just taking it day by day. Yeah. Might be, Ned, that I have to go for stages.
Yeah. Commentating for GC, not riding. But I know what you mean. You're not...
Yeah.
You've got to pick him. You've got to be selective.
I was also mixing analogies badly then. So we commentated for GC. But no, we're walking through Malpensa Airport into this, in between the kind of walking in bit where there's some shops and some ticket offices where you can get the train. And then this art installation area, which was empty. And there's
very strange art.
Yeah. Quite a big, looks like an aircraft hangar. Mm. And there's two different floor surfaces. And the kind of bit between the two floor surfaces, very much like you'd have at home, in between carpet and tiles, there's like a rod.
Yeah.
But it was quite a wide rod that was at least a centimetre deep.
Yeah. Okay. Now you had a golden opportunity to use that lovely word that you could only use in this set of circumstances. It's something slightly proud of the other surface. It was proud. But to the tune of about an inch.
An inch. And I must have been... Generally, and people have commented, I've got quite a good gait and stride pattern.
Who's commented on that?
People. I have.
Roman Bardet.
No, Holly did once. She said, we've got quite a good stride pattern between us. But my foot must have been quite low to the ground because I was wheeling the Brompton in its case and my suitcase, and my left toe, rather than going above...
butted up against the proud surface at vertical surface at pace, at speed, halting your momentum.
It halted my momentum abruptly and sent this nervous, almost like an electric shock through my left leg, through my buttock, to the point. And I'll be honest with you, I know children won't be listening, but I said the F word very, very loudly, which caused an elderly couple to turn their heads and frown and scorn and sort of frowned at me.
Yeah.
But and then I was like, flipping heck, my leg is really hurting, and it stopped me in my tracks because you were there, but you'd walked on.
I was unaware because I had my own slight issues to deal with, like in terms of my gait.
And that's another. Yeah. We need to drill into that, don't we? But it's really painful. I reckon temporary nerve damage to my buttock caused by my toe, to the point I was visibly limping, and it's still quite sore, and it kept me up a little bit last night.
Yeah. Getting in and out of the car as well is quite an ordeal for you, isn't it? I mean, there's a lot of accompanying.
Yeah, there is. Because I've got quite prevalent sciatica in my right leg at the moment as well, which is also going through my right buttock. So my left buttock's now, hopefully it's just temporary and we'll recover. But right now, I'm not in the best of shape. But I think I'll just soldier through.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Yeah. Well, likewise, I'm dealing with a podiatry issue of some heft, actually, because in my excitement coming away to the Giro, a couple of days before I left, I had to go to Guernsey to a literary festival for 24 hours. And I thought, with the Giro in mind and with the literary festival, I'm going to buy myself some new shoes. I bought myself a pair of Lee Cooper boots.
Just like the idea of somebody, just anybody, Ned, going to a literary festival, deciding there to buy some Lee Cooper boots.
Yeah.
How? Just, what were you thinking? I mean, it's odd.
You say, I mean, I've just read a book that makes that kind of well-worn remark about you judge a man by his footwear, right? And I'm...
Lee Cooper, good brand.
Yes, solid, brand, isn't it? Solid. Like, I don't want to see myself as a Lee Cooper kind of guy. You know, I'm at that age.
It's a constant. Yeah. I mean, if you see somebody with a Lee Cooper shirt on, you're just...
Just solid.
You can't see my face on the pub. You just
solid
do this,
bloke. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Can't describe what you just did, but yeah, it's the face you'd pull if you saw a Lee Cooper branded bloke walking into.
Exactly.
To have it. Yeah. But this particular pair of boots just had a kind of a really abrasive heel surface on the inside. I put them on, I didn't notice it was happening at first, but after about half an hour of wearing these and walking around, I realised that they had literally scraped seven layers of my dermis off the heels and instantly just created these horribly raw heels. And now,
so there was no blistering, it just immediately just took the skin off. So
there wasn't
raw,
time for blistering, it was just taking it off. And it's so... I'm dealing with the consequences of that. I had to hobble my way through my 24 hours in Guernsey, get to Gatwick Airport. I'd left... my other suitcase left luggage at Gatwick Airport because I'm flying straight out to John Yoo in Milan. I opened that bag, took out my running shoes, the only other shoes I had in the world at this point, put them on, take these shoes off, and I chucked them in the bin. They were 2 days old. Chucked them in the bin at Gatwick Airport and moved on. But I'm still very much dealing with the consequences of that. And I think it's going to be a long time before those heels have... So I'm hobbling around. You've got your buttock strain. I've got me two heels. My left is worse than my right. In terms of our overall fitness for the Giro, and it gets underway tomorrow, it's questionable, Matt.
There's been a lot of like footwear-related kind of things happening because, off the back of your, you know, you've been in your Lee Coopers. I mean, let's be honest. Let's cards on the table. I mean, how much they cost you? How much did you waste? 90, or you allow? I mean, 90 quid?
70? 110?
This might be where I went wrong, Matt.
115.
21 quid.
Oh, 21 quid.
21. So what a strange price that is, though. 21 quid.
That's a strange number. Yeah. Not 20.99 or
no, 21 quid. They were heavily discounted. I spent 21 quid on them, which is too cheap for a shoe, isn't it?
I think, I mean, even for a Lee, I mean, like the brand aside, I mean, I wonder if these were slightly subpar. It wasn't like an outlet village where there was slight...
slightly outlet, subpar. They assaulted my foot.
Yeah. I mean, they grated your foot.
There's subpar, and there's actually criminal.
Yeah.
And I might lawyer up actually over this because
I'd back you up.
Would you?
I've seen the damage that it's caused your last.
If it comes to push, comes to shove, would you be prepared to stand in court?
Well, also, I'll back it up with this, and it brings us nicely into the next anecdote. It's basically I had to follow you around a shoe shop. In a shopping mall based on an Egypt themed shopping mall just outside Milan.
No, Turin.
Turin.
No.
Was it Milan?
Turin. No,
Turin.
Yeah,
just
Turin.
Outside Turin. Actually, we had a really good time, didn't we? Yeah. But we went into two shoe shops and you nearly bought a new pair of shoes, but then you thought, Matt, I can't risk it.
Yeah.
And I could see you were. It was hard for you, mate, wasn't it?
So I've just got my running shoes, which are very forgiving, actually. So we'll just have to see how it goes, mate.
Yeah.
We'll have to see how it goes. I mean, I've spoken a little bit in the podcast already about Tadej Pogacar. I don't need to elaborate on that.
You do sometimes forget, especially when we've been... You come to the Grand Tours a few days before. So, let's be honest, we have had a little bit of downtime, which has been great, because it'll be full on.
But
I'm glad you've mentioned the race, because it's not just about us. It's about the Giro,
We commented on the team presentation last night.
We did. I was in really good form.
You're in excellent form. The first words you've spoken in the Giro d'Italia slightly threw me off guard, because I did the kind of introduction and I handed to you to kind of like pick up on the first time. Matt Stevens will be alongside, not just tonight, but for the next 3 weeks. And Matt, looking at this Giro, I mean, what are your expectations of the race to come, the 107th edition of the Giro d'Italia? To which you replied mystifyingly with roughly, what did you say?
I think it's one of the most open races for years,
you
Ned.
Bloody idiots. Why did you say
I don't know.
That? What led you to say that?
I don't know. I think, again, I think it could have been the wine, because I'm not used to wine before commentary. I never have it. So I thought, okay, let's just see. And now I know why. I think it was the wine. But what I did do, and I think I did it well. And I did it well. I said, well, what I mean by an open race.
By which I mean
it's actually going to be the least open race in years. So it's a complete 180 degree turn within seconds. I think you briefly had to mic off because you were guffawing quite loudly.
You are a very, very good cycling analyst. You know, what you say always makes... But I never heard such rubbish come out of your mouth.
And as soon as I said it, I thought, what on earth have you just said in my mind? But then grabbed it and just span it around and threw it straight back at you.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody noticed.
No. No. It's questionable how many people were watching. I won't lie. Because these things are... But it's pouring with rain in Turin. Absolute frigid night. The horrible weather the first couple of days.
It was a lovely location, though, wasn't it? I mean, they've done a great job.
Valentino Castello in the Valentino Park on the banks of the River Po. We've had the team presentation there before in beautiful summery evening when on the year that Egan Bernal won, and we had the opening time trial in Turin. But this was totally different. Same stage, though. Yep. Big show. They love a big show, the Giro. They put it on really well. They spend a lot of money and
good lights,
lot
and stuff. Care and love goes into it.
Yeah, definitely. They're all the pink spotlights on this kind of this garden area, but it did look great actually, and there's some lovely shots from the air, but and the rain gave it an added bit of drama, but the crowd stayed as well, didn't they? Umbrellas up, they stayed for the whole duration. Good hour and a half.
Was the last rider on the stage, wasn't it?
An hour and a half into it,
and they've been standing there and pouring rain. He was lovely because he's very natural, isn't he? And he just said, I actually can't believe that you're all here in the terrible weather to see all this, and he smiles as he does. But I mean, I do love our Italian colleagues, but they sometimes, I've got to whisper this, just need someone, I think, sometimes in the planning stage of these events, just to go, that's probably enough.
Yeah.
And also those scripts that you've written about the pink dream and the protagonists and the journey and our heroes.
I took it and ran with it.
Dreams that we live. Where do our dreams go?
Yeah.
And our dreams, we live them, we dream them, we dream our dreams,
no,
we are our dreams. The world is a dream. Our dream is a journey. Our journey is a dream. And all that stuff, it goes on.
Do you think, though, that when you do come to the Giro, you do... It's the race of dreams, because we have dreamed abnormally abnormally recently, haven't we?
Yeah. I had a dream about...
Mine wasn't cycling.
Brothers.
Yes, that was interesting.
Yours was... You were kind of, as far as I understood it, you're in some hotel atrium, and both the Yates brothers there, and you were kind of like engaging them in kind of like almost social media banter, as if you were filming for one of your many sponsors for whom you work, and doing that kind of thing, and you did with Tadej Pogacar when you opened his fridge and kind of like had a bit of chat, but you weren't getting much back from them.
No, and there was no camera person there, nobody was capturing it. I was just Matt hanging out with the Yates brothers, and they were polite, but they weren't giving a lot away, and I just think they were a little bit confused with why I just wanted to speak to them constantly. Whenever they got up and walked away, I followed them. So it's quite a strange dream.
And you didn't know who you were going to invoice at the end of it, because you were kind of chatting without portfolio.
No.
Or contract.
Yeah, and but it was very detailed, kind of strange dream. But yeah. Dreams are going to be made over the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, they are.
They are, man.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.